This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. You know,
this is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
Testing positive for it. But
we always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. And I can't tell you how great it is to see the smiling face of Jimmy Langan back in the studio. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing a lot better than Bob Huggins is. I've been a lot happier than he was. They got behind, what, 18-2?
Yeah, it looked like a couple of bees stung him in the face, didn't it?
Oh.
He was all puffy and mad.
Oh.
That's kind of the deal, though. He's easy to root against. So unless you're a West Virginia alum, because let's face it, in West Virginia, I hope they love him. I mean, that's where he played. That's where he's from. But he's one of those guys that's easy to root against. And they got pounded last night. Interesting basketball last night. You had two games. Well, you had one game that wasn't close. Kentucky just routed him from the get-go. You had a game in Notre Dame and Wichita State that was entertaining, and then Notre Dame just couldn't miss. I don't think Wichita State played bad, but there's no way Notre Dame played the kind of game last night that they need to play tomorrow to have a chance against Kentucky, and we know that's impossible to string back-to-back games like that together. They might play well tomorrow, but you can't play that good. And then Wisconsin showed some vulnerability yesterday. And, of course, I mean, it's North Carolina. It's Roy Williams. He's going to have them prepared. And Xavier, who was the sneaky one that nobody was talking really about, there wasn't a whole lot of talk the last couple days about Xavier, Arizona. And that's usually when you got to watch out. And if Xavier would have played a little bit better, they would have won that basketball game.
Yeah, I think if Xavier would have shot the three, was that the problem? I think they didn't hit a three. They were like one out of nine from three-point range. Once the guy hit one, he was one out of nine. But, Doug, that was well said about Bob Huggins, though, about you said, you know, he's the type of guy that – it's not hard to root against. And there's a few of them out there in the NFL and in college sports. But, man, I'll tell you what, he might be on the top of that list.
Yeah, he's one of them. Coming up on the program today, in fact, in just a moment, we're going to be joined by Sean Alexander. He was, of course, the former All-Pro with the Seattle Seahawks, went to Alabama, and we're going to talk with him as he will be in town Sunday for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes annual Legacy Banquet. We're also going to catch up with Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal. Michigan State playing Oklahoma tonight. I think a lot of folks believe the winner of that game will also win on Sunday against the NC State Louisville winner, but that is, you know, throw them in a hat and play it 10 times and you're going to get, you know, 2-2-3-3 is who's going to come out of that to the Final Four. And we've got Fanatics Friday Trivia all coming up. Plus, we'll take a look at our Doug and Daddy Bud Light Bracket Challenge. There's a new leader after last night, and we'll let you know who's in the running for the beautiful 49-inch television from Russell's Appliance and Electronics here in Kearney. But, Jimmy, it's always a pleasure to talk to folks that have seen the world, played professional sports, and have done well in not only on the field or the court or whatever the case may be, but in life as well. And that is part of what the Legacy Banquet is about with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Grand Island will have theirs with Tim Tebow next month. But Sean Alexander joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda and Jim Langan here. Sean, thanks so much for the time this morning, and good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great, and we really appreciate the time because we know as well as anybody when you're on the circuit and you're speaking, everybody wants a little bit of your time. And you've been, if your schedule is updated on the website, like I believe it is, you give yourself a day or two to recovery. At least you're not doing it every night.
Right, right. You know, my original goal is to do it about twice a month, but my wife and I were expecting a baby April 29th. It'll be our third son, our eighth child. so I'm actually taking a couple of months off. So I packed in March pretty crazy. So this is probably the most intense month I've had in a couple of years. So it's good though. It's fun.
He's been all over the country here this month. Alabama is, of course, in Birmingham, Virginia, Florida, Kentucky. He'll be in Nebraska, and we'll talk about it at some point in the interview, Sean. So let's just bring it up right off the get-go here. Eight children. I know that's part of your faith, and I know you and your lovely wife have some very deep and strong beliefs. Let's start from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes side of things, and just your beliefs, I guess, on why you would want to have such a large family, because it's so cool.
Well, gosh, you know, I came from nine. My wife is one of eight, so it's a joke in our family that you don't even love your wife unless you got six. So, you know, we're kind of thrown into this, but at the end of the day, kids are just, they're awesome. I mean, like, you know, the Bible even says they're a gift from Him, and I just think that if I was going to gift you $100, you know, you wouldn't be like, Sean, stop. You know, that's too many, you know. so we look at it like that. We look at it as their blessings and great gifts, not a chore or a job or a task. You know, I guess it's a perspective whenever you look at things. That's how you can make great decisions.
Well, obviously, your career enabled you to be able to support a family like that, and you, right from high school, number one coming out of high school, getting the opportunity to play at Alabama, getting the opportunity to play at Seattle, and may I say, kind of lay the groundwork for what's been happening with those guys recently. How much pride do you take in that?
You know, it is. It's a beautiful thing. I remember going into the Seahawks locker room and not seeing banners and not seeing even people with the strut of we win, more of we want to win, we hope we can win, but not this is what we do. And I think Coach Hungren did a great job of drafting guys with my kind of personality where we're not going to try to win, we are winning, and there's no other option. And to see that it was a band of brothers and we're going to win and this is all we do and we're going to do what it takes, and that's going to be the new attitude and a new atmosphere of the place. And to watch them now, you know, the same way, we got to win. It's us versus the world, you know. you know, and it's pretty cool. I mean, it's the same thing that we got to build in Seattle, that I felt like Alabama was like that when I was there, and even my high school in Florence, Kentucky was real similar. We're going to win. And it's us versus everybody else, and you're for us or against us, but this is how we're going to lay the ground. And now it's beautiful to see. You see guys going at it all the whole time, and winning is the only option.
Yeah, Sean, you know, you're talking about winning, and you were at Alabama, so you did a lot of it there too. But how do you approach this with the players now, with the celebrations they do in the end zone? And it's almost like they're taunting the other team at times with the way they act, and it's kind of become, I mean, we have excessive celebration penalties now. I mean, we even are trying to get this stopped a little bit. What message do you send when you speak?
You know, well, just on celebration, I think people can be who they are. I think we kind of get like little too we take the wrong things personal, and then we take other things that should be taken personal as it's just people having their own opinions. I think if a person scores a touchdown against us, or, you know, I've been hit many times, you know, where I get caught and they stand up on me, we got you, Alexander, and they high five and they're jumping up. That's them celebrating what they've done. Now, you best believe when I scored a touchdown, it's going to be with a smile, but that second look, you know what I'm saying to you is, okay, how's it feel when the rabbit's got the gun? You know, it's the play of football, you know, and I don't think we should take the joy and the fun out of a little smack talk with that. That's just kids being kids, guys playing a game, you know. That's not a big, this is showing your character. Your character is shown off the field, you know what I mean? And so I think that we make it a bigger deal to talk about a guy making a touchdown celebration, and then we don't make it a big deal about how he handles his family, how he handles his wife and kids and the things like that. That's just guys being guys with money. Well, hold on. We got something backwards here, you know? And so that's just kind of how I look at it. And I think most people, if they sat down and really thought about it, they'd actually think that that way probably makes more sense.
We're talking with Sean Alexander, former All-Pro. And just a little background, our co-host, Sean, Jimmy Langan, been in education and been a coach for a lot of years. So I know both of you, and with you having the big families that you've had, there's a lot of educating out there and raising, whether it's your kids or coaching kids, the right way.
Yeah, you know, it's a beautiful thing. I've been honored to be one of the ambassadors for the National Center of Fathering and also with the NFL and their Legends groups, and one of the guys that comes and hangs out with those guys and just always encouraging people. I'm always amazed when it comes to fatherhood, whether I'm with the White House Fatherhood Initiative or where, that we'll think and get this confused that that it's more important to teach your kid how to make money over the fact of teaching your kid how to be a great son and how to be a great father and be a great man, you know. And so I'm always encouraging people, like, to have something that basically you control, you know what I mean? If we're selling widgets and then all of a sudden widgets ain't popular, we ain't making money off those widgets no more. But if you can do it with integrity, no matter whether widgets are selling, you got some substance to hold on to forever. And you know, and that's what I believe. I believe that's the same way with guys on the field and teammates that you have and relationships. If you can have real conversations with guys, we can win. And I remember having great linemen all throughout times, but there's always a defensive player that my guys couldn't get. And we would all have a real conversation. Can you block this guy? Well, because we have real relationships, they could say, this is going to be tough. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to make you right. I'm going to always lean right. And when he's coming to get me, you just nudge him. I'll cut right off you at the last second. It'll look like you pancaking, like it was a plan the whole time, you know? And that's part of having real relationships and real conversations. I think that's what's really missing in society and life, is that people always want to put a facade that they got it all together, when actuality, we need each other, and a little bit of help can go a long way with truth.
We're talking with former NFL MVP Sean Alexander, who played in the Super Bowl with Seattle and had a great career, but obviously the 2005 season was a special season. He's going to be in Kearney for the Legacy Banquet for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. There will be a All-Pro is what they're calling it, get-together beforehand at the Eunice Center from 4 to 4:45. This is for any coach, any athlete to come out. You can check out a copy of his book, The Walk, as well. And we'll touch on that here in just a sec. But, Sean, because you as kind of drew us into this next question, a lot's been going on with all this off-the-field stuff in the NFL, whether it's Greg Hardy, whether it's Adrian Peterson. I mean, there's a lot of names, unfortunately. What do you say about what's going on there? I believe in second chances, but they also need to stand up for what they did. I don't know that there's a gray area in there to be able to support both sides. Just your thoughts on how the NFL is handling some of these situations.
Well, you know, I think that we clearly, and I say we as in my NFL family, we clearly have problems, but I think that it's Twitter and Facebook that has brought attention to it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I tell them all the time, it's like, well, hold on, are we going to change things because now we're getting caught? You know what I mean? Or is this really a problem that we want to fix to help other people? And so, you know, when that decision is really made, then we can actually really get to solving the problem. And I think how you solve it is really getting people into the core of who they are, and also making a decision, as the NFL is, what are we going to tolerate and what we are not. You know, and I don't think that that's been solidified. I think that with enough talent, we might overlook it. And so if that's the case, then let's be honest about that. You know what I mean? Like, once again, I firmly believe in truth, you know, and I think that if everybody's up front, then you know what it is. And then you're like, well, hey, we're not really trying to solve this problem. We're trying to look good. And then that would be a problem in itself. But overall, like, there's guys that are really hurting. I think that most people that hurt other people is because they're really hurting. And And I would say that that's the case. Or it's been they've been raised in a situation that they don't truly know the best ways to do things. And both of those things can be taught, explained, corrected with truth and with somebody teaching you how to do things the right way. And then they have to make a choice, which kind of goes back to each person being who they are.
Hey, with your history in the Fellowship of Christian Athletics, were you involved in this in college and high school too also?
Yeah, you know what? It started in my high school, my senior year. And so I was a part of it a little bit, but then it's strong in Alabama. Bear Bryant, Gene Stallings told us the story that 1964, when they started FCA and in the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa, Bear Bryant walks in to Gene Stallings and says, "Hey, Beavs, man, what are we going to do with this FCA? This is the worst thing that's ever happened to my program. Guys are hugging on each other and crying, and they're talking about life issues." And he goes, "This is crazy." You know, 4 months later, they win a national championship. He goes in there, "Beebs, it's the best thing that's ever happened to our university, FCA." You know, and so these guys, they didn't have the talent, but they were willing to die for each other. Man, we got something here. This is going to be here forever. And so that's a long traditional thing in Alabama, along with championships and All-Americans, is you're going to see every year at the University of Alabama a great man of faith, a person that's just not trying to be good but really has a relationship with Jesus, that is an All-American at Alabama. I mean, you got Amari Cooper this year, last year C.J. Mosley, the year for that, Barrett Jones. I mean, there's just tons of them. You know, even going back with Jay Barker in the 92 championship and for me, passing the torch to me in 99, I'm going, you know, it's a tradition in Alabama that it's just solid. It's not trying to force a religion down to you. It's teaching you how to have a relationship with this man named Jesus that walked on this earth that died for your sins. I mean, it's really something that's simple, but it is a strong choice that would cost you a lot.
Last minute here with former MVP Sean Alexander. He was the MVP in 2005 and, of course, multiple All-Pro. So this Sunday, for those that obviously can't be there and those that will be there, give us a little preview. What will be your message? What is your message during your speeches?
You know what? It's funny. I usually travel with either one of my brothers or one of my best friends from growing up, and they always laugh because they don't ever know what I'm going to talk about, and I never know what I'm going to talk about. It's almost eerie. But you know, when back in the Bible, when they talk about the stories of the Israelites going through the town, and Moses is leading them through, and of course, everyone knows the story of the Red Sea, and he parts the Red Sea. Well, they walked around for 40 years, and everyone's like, "What did they eat?" It said there would be fresh manna from heaven, which is kind of like bread. Bread would just fall from heaven, and that's what they would eat. And so I would always tell people, you know, what am I going to talk about? I don't know. I'm just hoping that fresh manna will come to my mind, and it will be something awesome that will stir somebody's heart to get to know Jesus a little bit better and make their own choice whether they want to follow him. And so I kind of lean on that. I have to have faith even when I'm talking because I don't know what I'm going to talk about until I'm really there. And
that's kind of like our show.
A little bit about my relationships with FCA and some of the cool people I've met. But most of it is going to be brand new. I'll hear it as I say it.
That's kind of like our show every day here. We throw the mic on and we have no idea what's going to come out of our mouths, so which keeps it fresh, I guess.
It does. It's fun. I've been asked to do some TV stuff, but I think I'm more intrigued with maybe doing radio down the road, so I might become a partner of y'all's because I think I like the freshness and newness of just talking with people and kind of seeing where it goes, you know.
You know, you're talking about your relationships with people, and you've met a lot of people. The University of Nebraska, we had one of our coaches was very much involved in the Fellowship of Christian Athletics, Ron Brown. Have you met him? Do you know him very well?
I know of Ron. He's actually very, very close to some of the guys that mentored me. James Mitchell, who's now at Duke, and a handful of other guys, RV Brown, who was at Florida State. But I've heard great things about him. I think he went to Youngstown, right?
Mm-hmm.
He just started for Youngstown, yeah. So, no, I just think it's really cool. I tell everybody, it's kind of like one of those things. There's a brotherhood and a family, even if you don't know the people, that you know the connections. Everybody's one off. You know, it's 6 degrees of separation except in faith. It's like two.
Sean, we'll let you out of here with this because does time heal all wounds, or do you still feel jaded a little bit about the way the Super Bowl went?
You know, I think that life always has to go on, but I think that there's some situations that no matter what, you're going to always remember it. You're going to remember how you felt in that situation. Gosh, you know, I remember walking into the locker room after the game and still feeling the pain of my Super Bowl 10 years before that off of this one game. And so you'll be healed. Life will move on, but it doesn't mean that that pain will go away. You got to choose to move on and let that thing go. But, you know, both my Super Bowl and Super Bowl 40 and Super Bowl 49 both hurt extremely. You know, 40 a little more for me, but both of them hurt. <You know?
laughs> Well, to be honest, I'm not a Seahawk fan. I'm a Cowboy fan, which I know is in its own thing. But I was rooting for you guys both times, so I'll quit rooting for you so that you can win.
Right, so you were cheering for Denver against us the year before, huh?
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it.
So for you, we're going to call you up and be like, can you cheer for the other team this this week?
That's the way it rolls. That's the way it rolls. Well, Sean, hey, we really appreciate you making some time for us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Look forward to your visit here in Kearney on Sunday.
Yeah, thank you, man. It'll be a great time. See everybody Sunday.
All right, take care. Sean Alexander, NFL MVP, multiple All-Pro, All-American, and the Legacy Banquet is a banquet for Fellowship of Christian Athletes that is, I don't want to say invite-only, but it is their deal. So if you want to be a part of seeing Sean, that is why they are also doing the All-Pro Show, and that runs for about an hour from 4 to 5 at the Eunice Conference Center on Sunday. And this is for all coaches. You're invited to bring some players and fans, and they'll have a brief demonstration, talk about a few things, a question and answer period, it looks like. And then at 6 o'clock is when the banquet will be held. Of course, Todd Brown, the master of ceremonies, heavily involved as well with the FCA, former Husker from right here in our backyard. So Todd will be going on with the MC duties. And cool to catch up with Sean Alexander. You know what? He wasn't as pointed on some of the topics that we brought up to Jimmy. And it seems like when you're put on the national stage, or we're not national stage, but anytime you're talking media, there's almost a political correctness to it. He wasn't taking that line. He was talking about when you talked about celebrating. I think maybe you were talking one thing, and Sean was saying it's nice to express yourself. You were talking a little bit about non-sportsmanlike things, and then with these guys, and we mentioned the names, Adrian Peterson, Greg Hardy, all these guys that are getting a second chance, you know, he didn't say, well, they should be taken to the letter of the law. I mean, he's been there. He understands what's going on sometimes. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about what they did, but the way that things are being handled to get them back with an opportunity to continue their lives. So,
yeah, I agree. You know, I was kind of surprised that he did take a look a little bit at both sides of that. You know what I mean? Because it kind of plays hand in hand, you know, with your religion a little bit, and you're caring about people and et cetera, that you would really be careful about, you know, being penalized. But I guess it had no effect at him at all. But on the same thing, I think he talked a little bit about fatherhood, about the players and the fathers. And he really wasn't talking so much about drug incidents and things like that as much as he was, hey, about being a good father. You know, that might be what he was talking about when we were talking about some of the players and how they were brought up. And, you know, because, you know, that's what happens. I mean, if you got 9 kids in your family, you might have 9 because you think that's the correct way. And if you're disciplined a little bit differently, you expect that maybe the belt will come out, you know, a little bit more, and because that's the way your family raised you. So I can understand his point. But, yeah, I was really surprised that he didn't come back and say, yeah, we got to get this stopped in the NFL. This is embarrassing as heck, the celebration that we're doing. And I mean, we're talking about guys getting fined. I mean, he's got a player on the Seattle Seahawks. Every time he scored a touchdown, he'd do a gesture. And they said, if you do that again, you know, you may be suspended a game. So, yeah.
Well, it's always interesting to get the take of somebody that's there. And, hey, let's face it. There's a couple, 3 topics that unless you're television or radio show is specifically geared towards politics, religion, on and on. I thought was interesting because I think some people believe anytime you bring up any religion or anything to do with it, they're trying to shove this down our throat. Well, Sean flat out says, I just want to give people the opportunity. I just want to give people the opportunity. I'm going to tell them a little bit about my story. I think Sean and Tim Tebow will have two different different messages out there. But it's cool that I think it'll be unique on Sunday to have an opportunity to go listen to Sean Alexander.
Yeah, I think the great opportunity to have somebody like that come to Kearney, Nebraska. And, you know, it was nice to have him on our show.
Yeah, if you get an opportunity, folks, it's coming up this Sunday, the All-Pro Show from 4 to 5 out there at the Eunice Conference Center, and then the Legacy Banquet at 6. We will take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth on this Friday. Probably the last little dreary day. We do need the moisture. If you got some of it, nobody wants it to rain on their parade or their soccer game or their track meet, but it's going to happen at some point. Just don't rain on our golf game. but it's going to be nice. And, of course, we're starting to think the end of the school season. We've got one more season to go here with spring sports. So maybe you're chasing the kids around. Maybe you need to haul around, and maybe you're just getting ready for a family vacation this summer, and you'll need that vehicle to get you from point A to B to C so that you don't want to worry about what you're driving as you're taking off for wherever it is, going to Yellowstone or going to Kansas City or going to some place, just to the relatives, wherever you might be going. So right now is a great opportunity to see the folks out at the Midway Auto Dealership. Midway Chevrolet Buick, GMC Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Whether you need a new or pre-owned vehicle, you can be ready for anything and claim victory against some of the conditions out there with your new Jeep. Stop into Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram and check out the full line of Jeeps from the most awarded Grand Cherokee to the best price SUV in America, the Jeep Patriot. They'll have a Jeep to fit your style. And if you're in the mood for a family vehicle, they can do that with a family car. Or if you just need a truck, maybe it's just a couple of you to get away, check out Truck Month at Midway Chevrolet with a Chevy 1500, 2500, and Colorado. Go to thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Or stop by and see your Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. We'll talk NCAA basketball coming up.
NNC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of the newest rental store. Located at 2608 East 32nd Street Place, Suite C, NNC Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact NNC for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow-behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online nmcrental.com or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
touchdown! Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As we say, with more cloud cover today, we'll see a few flurries or sprinkles in spots early, and then still could see an isolated shower, some sprinkles this afternoon with a high of 47. Then we'll drop off to 32 tonight. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 32.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Alabama coming up. They're going to be in Kearney for the fair coming up this summer. I think Garth Brooks tickets went on sale today. He's going to be in Omaha in May, so get your country on there. And Jimmy,
who you got
today? I got all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
The Nebraska women's bowling team, number one seed, the national tournament next month. I want to make sure I save that just for you. Glenn Miller Orchestra at the Merriman today. Doubleheader. 1:30 and I think 7 or 7:30 tonight.
Today?
Yeah.
Glenn Miller.
Well, the band.
Okay.
It's the Glenn Miller band.
Right,
because
yeah.
If Glenn shows up, I'd be freaked out.
Is that like kind of Sly and the Family Stone and Sly's not there?
Yeah, that would be it. It would be like saying the Beatles are here, but it's really just Paul McCartney. Yeah,
that'd be pretty good, though. I'd go to that one.
There you go. Well, as long as all the Michigan State guys show up tonight, they'll probably have obviously a decent chance to take on Oklahoma and advance to the Elite Eight. And we are pleased to welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio, Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal, getting ready for tonight's game. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on today's show. Graham, thanks for the time, and welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on, and I'll tell you what, you just have to believe in Tom Izzo. It doesn't matter. I couldn't even believe the record he had in the round of 32.
Yeah, no, second games of weekends, he's been incredible. And, you know, his ability to get his team to adapt to a scouting report that's unfamiliar to an unfamiliar foe and to do something different, which they did against Virginia defensively, has been incredible throughout his career. And this team in particular, because it's not as talented. You know, they are missing some parts of what make offense easy for teams. They don't have a point guard and get to the hole easily and score. They don't have somebody you can throw the ball to in the post or a stretch four. And yet all of a sudden they're looking pretty good.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you're exactly right. You're talking about the point guard, you know, because there's been years where he probably is the master of taking the five players he's got and making them, after 30 games, here's my tournament team. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, you're right. And look, they seem to get it right at the right time of the year, which is incredible. But you know, this team really, I think, turned in February, and you know, they had a little bit of a hiccup at one point, but there was, you know, you go back to February 7th, they lose to Illinois at home, and they're really on the bubble, maybe on the wrong side of it, looking like it, and they won four straight and won convincingly in four straight, including at Illinois, and just rolled Northwestern, and from that point forward, they were a different team, and that was when they put Tum Tum Nairn in the lineup, moved Travis Trice off of it. So that really started everything. And then when you get to the postseason, things are clicking. They've got desperate seniors, desperate veterans. Denzel Valentine, even though he's a junior, a kid who grew up in Lansing, cares about legacy in that program. And Brandon Dawson's the one guy that separates them. And when he's playing like this, you see it.
We're talking with Graham Couch here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Lansing State Journal. And, I mean, let's face it, we joked about it. Michigan State lost to Nebraska. I mean, they lost to Nebraska this year in a tight ball game in Lincoln, and there weren't many teams Nebraska was able to beat this year, so I guess that's the star from our area. But did you think that the Spartans played well against Virginia, or Virginia just shot the ball so poorly? Because I think Michigan State can play better than they did in that game.
No, I thought they played really well, especially defensively and in the half court offensively. The thing about Michigan State, until, you know, even in most of February, but for a long time this year, this team was, I think, a top 10 team in transition in the country, and then probably below an NIT team in the half court. They were just miserable with the half court offense. So if you could slow them down, they had nowhere to go, and they had no chance. They had no way to get easy offense. And they're starting to look good in that. Virginia a month ago was the worst possible matchup for this team. Not only was Virginia playing better than they are now, but it was a team that forced you to beat them in half court and slows it down. I mean, there's just no chance. And now, the way they played that game, that was pretty impressive. Now, what's interesting now is they're going to go back to their preferred style, which is more of a track meet. And, you know, I don't know if that helps Michigan State right now, because I think they've figured something out playing in these grinded-out games, and that's where they're playing their best.
Yeah, you're right. I noticed that early. There was, and you can help me out on the time frame on this. I'm going to guess it's around January 10th. They went down to Iowa and beat them like a yard dog. Michigan State beat Iowa, and Iowa was playing really well at the time. And then they turned around and played Maryland and got blown out. Now, I'm going to say that was about the 17th of January, right in that time.
That's exactly the day.
That was.
He's honestly not looking.
Yeah. I'm not looking. But they went down and played Maryland and got beat really bad. And that's when I thought, hey, maybe this team may not be an Elite Eight type team. But, boy, I was definitely wrong after that. What happened in that Maryland game and the Iowa game? Go back, because I think you're right. I think it was the transition stuff.
Well, yeah, it's a style thing. This isn't a team that can show up on a court and overwhelm you with athleticism. They can't out-athlete you. So if you can't out-athlete somebody, you know, you're going to have games where the matchups don't go in your favor. You're not hitting shots. They rely on jump shots. The Iowa game, like, for example, they drilled Indiana at home. And Indiana is a poor defensive team who plays a style that works into what Michigan State wants to do. And then Iowa has a sort of mental block with MSU. They've lost so many times in a row there. When things get tight, MSU just has the mental upper hand. Maryland was rolling at that time. They had a game where Melo Tremble hadn't been shooting that well, hit a lot of shots, and Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine were horrible. And they didn't look like they understood that they were now the stars of this team. They needed to take it over. They needed, no matter what, they needed to find a way to shoot. I mean, Travis Trice is completely dominated by Melo Tremble. And when I talk about the move of Tung Tung Nairn, the point guard, to allow Travis Trice off the ball, that's it right there, because Trice is sort of a mid-major athlete and a high-major player. And so if you've got a long, quick, strong athlete on him, you can shut him down. And when he was the focus of the offense, when he's on the ball, when he's running, he can be taken out of things easier than when he's off the ball. And so that you saw Melo Tremble did that to him in that Maryland game. And they just weren't – I think early on, you know, if you got him in a certain matchup – and they're still that way, though. I mean, that's the thing. They're still a team that – they have to play very well collectively because they don't have quite as many pieces as they've had in other years. Last year specifically, where, you know, here's the thing. You need three guys rolling to make a run, I always think, in the postseason. And it's the reason Maryland's gone now is Jake Layman disappeared and they really had two guys. And Michigan State has that right now, but they don't have anything really in reserve. A year ago, they had four or five guys that could be those three. And so they need their big guns to play well and they need everything around it to go perfectly.
Talking with Graham Catch, Lansing State Journal, here on the Doug and Daddy Show, as they play the final game tonight against Oklahoma in Syracuse. What's the following like? And give me your scouting report for tonight's game.
Well, it's picking up. It seems like more Michigan State fans are making this trip. This was not a fan base that was behind this team. There were very few people in Chicago. It was a virtual road game, that championship game against Wisconsin. Last week, not a lot of people made the trip. I mean, this is, in some ways, it's a fan base still recovering from the Rose Bowl expenditures a year and a half ago. But it's also good for them in some way. They've been horrible at home, comparatively. I mean, it's a really good road team. I think going into the tournament, they were 9-4. After the Georgia game, they were 9-4 in neutral site and road games since the beginning of Big Ten play, and 6-3 at home. And their three best shooters, this is the telling stat, at least shot 17% or better from the free throw line. The three biggest players, Valentine, Dawson, and Trice. On the road, they were 17% or better from the free throw line, which is a strange stat. It speaks to the negative energy of Breslin this year. It's an impatient fan base. It's a fan base that doesn't – the spoiled student section, and they were just better away from it. It was kind of a negative energy. And so it's still slow to pick up, I think. But I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's a style Michigan State likes. It's kind of going to be a make-or-miss game. If they hit shots, I think they're probably the better team. And they have Brandon Dawson. When he plays like that, he'll be the best athlete on the floor. I'm picking Michigan State close, but I would not be surprised if they're going home.
Ken, because of the way this East bracket, anybody can come out of there now. But can Michigan State play the final game of the year? I mean, get to the Final Four, win the national semifinal. What would it take?
Well, I think I can get to the Final Four, although Louisville's playing pretty well right now, and NC State beat Louisville. But I do think they can get there. Once they get there, I don't know if they can beat Duke. Their only chance to win a national title, there are two teams I don't believe they have any chance against in this field, and that's, there may be three, but two, Kentucky and Arizona. So they would need Wisconsin to take out those guys and match up with them in the final. I don't know that they can beat Duke, though, either. They might need that to be clear for them as well. They're a lot, those three teams, they played Duke earlier in the year. They were a different team, and Duke is a little bit of a different team. I think they can get to the Final Four if they play really well this weekend. I think there's nobody here who's any better than them if they're playing well. But once you get beyond the Syracuse, I think it's there are a lot of teams who just have more than they do.
What'd you think about the Wisconsin game last night?
It was interesting. I mean, Wisconsin's a team that handles pressure well. They've been in some close games. The way they handled Michigan State at the end of the Big Ten tournament title game was telling. They don't get rattled, and they were in real trouble last night for a minute, and that's a sign of a team. I mean, they probably shouldn't have been in a game that close, but it's also a sign of a team that has some poise, has seniors, and they knock down their free throws, they hit big shots, and if Sam Decker plays like that, that really makes their front line pretty incredible.
That is put perfectly. I didn't even know how to state it earlier today. They don't get rattled. Yeah, watching them in Omaha last week, watching them in the Big Ten tournament and throughout the season, they don't get rattled. They never seem like they're in a hurry. The expression, I don't even know if they really sweat that much. they just look like they walk onto the dais after the game or the press conference. Like practice looks like it must be tougher for them.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing is they don't have that many guys. They don't have much depth. So I don't know what their practices are actually like, but they that main five guys now with Trayvon Jackson back, it helps a little bit with depth. But yeah, no, it's when they played MSU played the game of their lives and had them on the ropes and had them, were up 11 there late in the second half, and Wisconsin just hit big shots and made plays and didn't look at all rattled, didn't look concerned at all, and that may get them eventually, but that's a nice trait to have.
And finally, Graham, just your thoughts on the Big Ten and the postseason overall. It's okay. I mean, a couple of the conferences like the Big 12 are just getting trashed for their performance here. What about the performance of the Big Ten?
Yeah, it's interesting because the league was as good as it's as deep as it's ever been. Now, it also had more teams than it's ever had. But, 2 through 13, the gap was almost nothing. And, depending on how teams were playing at a given time. But when you think about Nebraska, even Penn State took Michigan State to the wire. I mean, it just there wasn't much difference. The problem was there was really only one great team. So to expect more than one team out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, I think, was a stretch. And then the fact that the Big Ten has two, I think, is a decent showing for a year that really was. I mean, to me, there's no – obviously, most teams, a lot of leagues don't have 13 teams. But there was no second-to-last team in any other conference in the country that was going to compete with Penn State at the end with DJ Newball. I mean, so that was where the strength of the Big Ten was. It was hard to get every night there was somebody at least decent and competitive, and that's what made Penn State's run not that surprising in the Big Ten tournament. But I don't think it wasn't a great year for the Big Ten. It was a year of depth, and to have two teams still playing, I think it's okay.
Well, enjoy New York and Syracuse, and hopefully we'll get you guys to the Indianapolis and the Final Four. That they'll be able to make the trip to Indianapolis. That would be quite the atmosphere. Graham, hopefully we can do it again, and thanks for the time.
Oh, thanks for having me. Take care.
You bet. From the Lansing State Journal, check it out. A great article today about how Tom Izzo has been courted, and we could have got into that, too, by NBA teams like Krzyzewski has been. But where would Michigan State be didn't take the Atlanta Hawks job, and Lon Kruger did, and Kruger coaching Oklahoma now. That's the matchup tonight. So there's always the interesting things about your program. Like I keep saying, where would Nebraska athletics be had Tom Osborne been elected governor? Because he couldn't have been the athletic director, and things would have went down differently. But where would Michigan State, would that be it? I mean, a lot of people think that when Gino Auriemma leaves Connecticut, they can't keep where they're at. That will be the end of their dominance. They may still be okay, but they'll never be that dominant. And there's some places where it would be tough. I mean, without Tom Izzo, I don't know who could do at Michigan State what he's done.
Tom Izzo couldn't do what he did at Michigan State again. I mean, that's the one thing when you start looking at, what's your record? Oh, it's 15-1 in Sweet 16 games. Well, how are you going to duplicate that? You know what I mean? You can't even duplicate it yourself. I will say this about the UConn coach. You know, he went to he was at women's athletics at the right time in the right place, and he built a program. And there was a couple programs that were way the best. I mean, if you look at the NCAA basketball tournament, it's not always chalk. It is kind of on that one side right now with Wisconsin continuing to win and Kentucky continuing to win and on the one side. But there's some brackets where 14 can beat threes, and you just don't see that as often in the women's tournament. You know, those elite programs, they are way the best. Doug, when I went to Vegas, you know, they talk about how big of a favorite Kentucky is. You know, Kentucky was, you could, at the beginning, you could bet 10 and win 11, mm-hmm. 10 to win 21. You get your $10 back to be at the very beginning of it. The UConn, you had to bet 5 to win 1. You know, I mean, talk about way, I mean, you know, so, I mean, yeah, just there's just not as many. And you only could
UConn bet, women favored 5 times as much more than the Kentucky men.
Yeah, and you only could bet 7 teams. Then you bet the field. Wow. So you only had 7 spots, and like 6 and 7 were like 200 to 1. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, so that's how much of a favorite it is on that side and domination. But yeah, there's been some programs that have just been completely successful, and you could go in there again and try to duplicate it, and you couldn't do it.
Well, they're the best, just like T&L Irrigation. Farmers, the irrigation season is almost here. Find out why so many growers are moving to T&L's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems, their superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of the outstanding T&L hydraulic design. Just a few of the reasons why you need a T&L irrigation system in your field. If you're, I don't want to say you're running out of time, but don't need to be cutting it any closer than this. Folks, maybe you got your tax return back already and you can put it back into your farming operation. Whatever the case may be, talk to the folks at T&L, your local T&L dealer, or TLIRR.com. Like no other, T&L Irrigation. We'll look at our Bud Light Bracket Challenge leaderboard, and Jimmy's been gone. We haven't done the show together. I mean, when we do it as much as we do, and it's been like a week and a half, we got some stuff to go over.
Yeah, we've got a ton of stuff to go over, and I'll tell you one thing. I've started, what's really funny is, you know, I had SMU and I think somebody else really far into the tournament, somebody that got beat early. Yeah. And Baylor. And hey, when I was cheering against Baylor, that's how unimportant my little bracket is. Baylor's a 3 seed. And somebody, Georgia State. I was so tickled for that guy in Georgia State when they won. That was the highlight. And right now, UCLA is the only team that I look at that has no business being where they're at. They just, everything fell into place from them, you know, in the right bracket. UCLA is by far the only team I can see. But the trouble with UCLA, how many times have they won the national championship?
Yeah, there you go. Hey, if you're heading out to lunch today, folks, and want to watch the games this weekend, Kearney Chicken Coop is there for you. Lunch specials today, the prime rib sandwich. The lunch special is served from 11 to 4. Great menu. You want some wings, you want a burger, pizza, you want a steak, you want ribs, you want a little fish off the menu today on this Friday. They've got a little shrimp, little salmon there for you as well. Everything that anyone in your crew would want or need, whether it's the family with the kids that are a little picky, or whether it's the family with the parents that are a little picky, you can find something you're going to like while watching your favorite sporting events and just relaxing at the Kearney Chicken Coop. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, Bo here from your locally owned and operated Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. At 80 years young, GNC continues to be the world's leading nutrition and supplement provider with guaranteed product purity, potency, bioavailability, and pricing on everything in the store. Don't settle for second best. Trust the company and products with over 80 years of experience to meet and exceed your health and wellness goals. Only at your Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now on America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
If you're hoppy and you know it, then you need to get your tickets to this year's Hastings Downtown Do the Brew. Taste dozens of craft beers and enjoy live music at this fundraiser for the Hastings Art Council. Do the Brew will be held April 25th at the Hastings City Auditorium. Tickets are available at the Hastings Area Chamber of Commerce, Murphy's Wagon Wheel, or Wine Styles. Be hoppy and know it at the Hastings Downtown Do the Brew, April 25th. Please drink responsibly. Designated driver.
I want one moment in time when I'm more than...
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I think if you win any of your NCAA brackets, it's probably just that one moment in time. That's worth celebrating and running around. And if I do win a bracket, which I probably won't, so I'll be sad, and I'll need a little solace. So I'm going to have a big deli sandwich.
I didn't know where this was going.
Oh, yeah, I'm
going
to swing right across from Duncan Field. That's the best. That's not the best thing about Duncan Field, but the best thing about Big Daly's Deli being right there by Duncan Field all summer long with baseball going on, whether it's Hastings College or the Legion baseball program, you just walk across the street and get a sandwich. Yeah. And I mean, it's or soup or the combo meal. They've got so much good stuff over there.
Doug, if you had a one wood and a brand new Titleist golf ball and you put it at home plate, could you hit it out of Duncan? Could you hit it out of Duncan Field?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, what is it, 420 to the deepest? 420 feet?
Yeah, and that,
to the deepest.
Don't forget
part?
Those brick walls out there. You got to get them up.
I wouldn't even need a driver.
Okay.
Get my wedge out of there.
All right.
Get my wedge out.
Okay.
That's only 120 yards. No problem. I could hit Big Daly's Deli.
You're going to have to hit it.
Now, I'd have to aim towards left field, and then I could probably hit Big Daly's Deli,
there you
which
could
is
do
over
that.
The right field wall.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to do that. I'd hit it over there just close enough so I'd have to go pick my golf ball up and then slide in and get a great
there
sandwich. Don't forget, folks, all of the sandwiches are made like you want. Choice of freshly baked bread or bun or a wrap. You get your cheeses, the veggies that you want, the condiments that you want. Of course, you've got to get the dill pickle on the side. You can get a combo meal. Chips, potato salad, fruit cup, side salad, homemade soup, desserts, cookies, more. I mean, you can all get that as whatever combination you want there. And maybe you have a little celebration or you got some gang over for the basketball games this weekend. Get one of the Big Daly Deli's meat and cheese trays. Call ahead for a special order. Big Daly's Deli, home of a bazillion and one sandwiches because too many is better than not enough. 610 East South Street in Hastings. Let's take a look tomorrow here on ESPN. The Division II National Basketball Championship will be played. And you know what? For the first time in a while, it's Florida Southern and Indiana of Pennsylvania. Usually it's somebody that was in the RMAC, the MIAA, that we are familiar with. Not this time. Not this time. And that will air tomorrow. But they always seem to have great games. That's tomorrow at 1:45. And the Arizona-Wisconsin game will be the early of the two games tomorrow. And by early, we mean 5 o'clock. And then around 7:45, Kentucky will play Notre Dame tomorrow. And then after tonight's games, they'll determine the order on Sunday. But the first game will get going around 1 o'clock, it looks like. And then the second game somewhere around 4 o'clock on Sunday. So if you're making plans to watch hoops. A lot, as Jimmy's been gone, and we've got Fanatics Friday Trivia coming up in our last segment, a chance to win a $25 gift card to our friends at Fanatics. But I want to, I'm looking at the calendar and all the guests that we've had here over the last couple of weeks, so let's get over it. I want to start with the biggest story of the week, and that's the retirement of Tom Kropp. You've worked with Tom, you know Tom. Your thoughts?
Oh, unbelievable. I'll tell you what. You know, Kevin Lofton said it pretty well when he started talking about stories. And Tom, the one thing he taught me, and I tried to live by this, and if most people that know me probably didn't think I did a very good job of it, but I did try. And that was that he made a comment. It's what you do for people that can't maybe help you out and how you treat them in life. And I remember that, and I mean, he told me that when I was at a very young age. You know, Tom came back from the NBA at the time that Tom knew his NBA career was over about the time I knew my college career was over. We had that in common. You know, that was one thing we had in common. We hung out a little bit together, and we'd visit about life. And I spent quite a bit of time with him, and as much time as I could, and work camps with him. And, you know, he always had a story, and he always had something going on about, hey, this is, we got to do things the right way and try to do things the right way. And the one I remember the most about Tom was he got his doctorate. He went and got his doctorate at the University of Nebraska. He took off for a while and got his doctorate. Now, that's a hard thing to get. I had trouble getting my BA degree, you know. But he got his doctorate, and he went back, and his dad didn't have a doctorate, but his dad is out in the, they're fishing at Johnson's Lake. And he goes to his dad, he goes, hey, you know, I'm teaching my first adult college class. When you get your doctorate, you can teach adults, you know, and he said, I'm going to teach my first college class. I'm going to start it tomorrow. And here's what I'm thinking I'm going to do. I'm going to have them, you know, to pass the class, they got to write a dissertation. They're going to have to do four papers. I'm going to have each guy get up in front and do that. And he said, Tom's dad goes, that's what you're going to do, huh, Tom? And he goes, yeah. I said, what do you think? And he goes, well, it depends. And he goes, what do you mean it depends? He goes, well, whether you want to be a decent human being or an asshole. And Tom goes, right then and there, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to back off on making other people do. Because, see, that's the hoops he had to make. You know, some of those teachers he had, he made them do that. And Tom thought, hey, you know, because all these guys have families and they got people. And, hey, you can still be a decent person and we can learn a lot in class without having to do all this work, basically what it got down to. And I thought, boy, that was a great point. That was his dad, you know, Bill. I mean, you know, and I student taught under him. And Bill Kropp was a guy I student taught at when I was at Grand Island High. So, you know, I got so many Tom Kropp stories, I can't even tell them. In fact, there's no way I could change the wording on that for me to tell the story the correct way. But it's amazing. Here's the other thing about Tom is, you know, Tom retires. We can't find him. You know, that's his personality. Tom, you know, hey, you know what? If you do something, other people talk. You don't have to tell everybody what you did. That's his personality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what did he do? Hey, you know, when he was in high school, try to imagine this. He was invited to the Golden West Invitational, which he had the top five throws in the nation in the discus get you invited there. He threw it 188 feet. He won the gold medal in the shot put. He was the Shrine Bowl MVP, actually, for both offense and defense. They just had to make a decision on it. You know, he could have played in the coach's all-star basketball game, but he played that. He played football at UNK, you know. But anyway, he was an all-state football basketball player. He threw a one or a no-hitter in the state Legion baseball. I mean, talk about a phenom, you know. And here's one other story I'll tell about Tom. Tom is pitching, and there's Gradiville's the catcher. And, like, it's basically, you know, Tom's throwing the discus for the track team. But so, hey, could you pitch for us? We kind of need a pitcher. Yeah, okay. You know, he shows up, and Gradiville's giving him all these signals. And Tom goes, hey, come here. After about this first batter, he says, hey, don't give me any signals. I don't know what they mean. He said, don't give me any signals, because I mean, I'm just going to let you know. And then all of a sudden, he moves his glove inside, outside, down low, and then Tom brings it about again. I've said, he said, don't do that. Just, I'm aiming for the middle. I don't know where it's going, but it's going to be a fastball every time.
And it was probably pretty good, too.
Yeah, but well, amazing man, and I'll tell you what, I have so much respect for Tom Kropp. You know, you got to remember, he was my mentor. He was 5-6 years older than me. I watched him play, and he really did. He was somebody that I could talk to. And when things happened to me in my life that weren't really good, and I would talk to my mom, my dad, and Tom Kropp.
Well, and Doug Duda, Jimmy Langan with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show, our Fanatics Friday trivia coming up. Let's take a look at the Midtown Mart cooler question, then we'll get into another couple of topics here. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Is the use of video replay a good thing for college basketball? This was a unanimous one. I thought there'd be some couple no's, but no, unanimous. Everybody said yes, they like replay in college basketball. Which men's college basketball player has the best chance of winning the Naismith Player of the Year Award, going to the best basketball player in college? And this is a good one for the weekend. Who should be college basketball's Player of the Year? Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. And we've got quite a few here. Hollis Jefferson of Arizona, Okafor from Duke, Aaron Harrison of Kentucky, Harrell of Louisville, Page of North Carolina, Kaminsky of Wisconsin. That's a pretty good list right there. I mean, everybody wants to pull for Frank Kaminsky because he's just the big white kid that everybody seems to be able to pull for and root for. We're the Big Ten community. I mean, and he's a he's the upperclassman. And in this day of one and done, it seems like those are the most talented guys. But, you know, Okafor, Duke's pretty good. Harrison of Kentucky's pretty good. I think it'll probably come down to those two guys.
So. Yeah. You know what's interesting? Last year, you know, the kid from Creighton wins the thing, and It was almost hands down. He won every award there was, and he was kind of the senior that went on and played. But you're right. They need to make the award and say, hey, is this senior only? Or is this something that's the best player in the nation? Because the kid from Wisconsin played well down the stretch last night. Played really well, I thought. Passed the ball really well. Got some really big rebounds. And played extremely good at the defensive end, Doug. But the Kentucky, anytime you win that many games in a row, I mean, who's the best player in the nation? Maybe four or five guys from Kentucky.
No doubt about it. Vote now on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. We don't even have time to just jump into the NCAA tournament. I wish you could have been part of our conversation yesterday with Augie Garrido, Nebraska baseball, a couple of other topics here. But I've got to get your thoughts on Paul Baronic, Kathy Bettenbrink, you've worked with, coached against, refereed. You've been in their circles even longer than me covering their games.
Hey, what's interesting, Kathy Bettenbrink and I applied for the Centura girls basketball job at the same time.
Whoever made that decision.
No, what? Hey, I didn't get it, and I ended up being the volleyball coach at Ravana. You know, I mean, I was the girls' volleyball coach at Ravana. I went 12-18, lasted two seasons. But Kathy, you know, I've known her for extremely a long time. And then, you know, we both had some success coaching. You know, when I was at Ravana boys, and she was the girls' coach at Centura. And I remember one time we got upset. I was coaching at Ravana. We were 13-0, and got upset by Centura's boys at the conference tournament. And Adams Central got upset. So now we got to play Adams Central for third, which I thought was going to be the championship game. And now we're playing it like 4:00 in the afternoon. The place is packed, but they weren't packed to see us, but they're there for see the Centura Gibbon girls game. You know, but the place was still packed. Well, this isn't so bad. You know, we ended up winning the game. I was happy to win, but it was kind of amazing that I came back out. After, you know, we showered. Well, we had no place to sit. You know what I mean? I mean, this is amazing. We're going to have to. We just played.
What gym were you in?
Yeah,
you remember what gym you were in?
It was at Centura.
It was at
Centura. Hosted that thing. And then Paul Baronic, you know, you were talking about, you know, Paul and I were close enough to the same age. So I'm not going to say I mentored Paul. Paul was my assistant coach for 7 years. I'm not going to say I mentored. That's something Paul needs to decide, who mentored him. He knows who he mentored. And the only thing I can say is that Paul and I were both very lucky. We were at Ravana at the right time. I think they'd won about 40% of their games or less. They'd only had won two districts since they joined the Lou Platte. And, you know, I only coached 8 years, but I think we won three or four districts, and we got second three times. And so every year we were in the hunt, and we got to go to the state tournament first time since 1929. Well, Paul was an assistant coach. He was an intricate part of that. I let him call all the out-of-bounds plays. Extremely loyal to me. What a great guy. Very knowledgeable. Just loved basketball. Could trust him. He liked to play. I mean, we'd open the gym and the guy would be playing. He was better than about anybody we had. So I could line him up against the post players and Paul was better than anybody. And I was not. There was a time where I might have been able to play on the team, but not very long. But Paul, what a nice guy. And his kids have been, and you know, like you said the other day, he had three boys that were just tremendous players. And I'm going to tell you right now, Paul's teams, his best teams, were better than my best team. So I'm not going to compare myself to say, oh, yeah. And Paul had, I had nothing to do with the way he coached those teams. That was the way he did it, and he did it that way. But we were always friends, and we always stayed, we always continue to talk. And I've enjoyed his family, and we were both, you know, each other's weddings. Yeah, it's still going on. But you know, so I had nothing to say, you know, with Kathy Mettenbrink and Paul Bragg. And, you know, the thing of it is what's happened here is there's some other people that are retiring that are really great coaches. But with these three that have retired this week, I mean, boy, you talk about, well, I don't think we've ever had a week like this.
No,
with Tom Crop, Paul Baronic, and Kathy Mettenbrink. Can you imagine that?
That's 1,500 wins.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, absolutely amazing. Yeah, I mean, Kathy Mettenbrink, I mean, how many coaches were out? She's the only coach that ever coached her, unless there was one just for a week before she got there. Yeah.
Yeah, she molded it like so many coaches have done at their schools. Tri-City Storm hosting Fargo tonight, 7:30, tomorrow, 7:05, trying to stay in the race for the overall league championship, continuing to lead the West Division by 1 point. And the Nebraska Danger, home tonight at the Heartland Events Center, taking on Iowa. Kickoff is set for 7 o'clock. When we come back, we'll wrap the show up with our Fanatics Friday Trivia, a chance for you to win a $25 gift card going into the weekend.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
The story behind the Goodwill store. My story is about my daughter, Laura, who lives with a developmental disability. I've seen her learn, grow, and blossom with the help of Goodwill. People living life to the fullest, accomplishing goals, and realizing dreams. What we all strive for, what Goodwill helps people do every day. Donate, shop, be part of the story.
Doing it right makes such a difference. Goodwill.
Life is definitely good for Laura.
A big Buffalo County fair welcome to Alabama.
If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man.
Coming to the Buffalo County Fair on July 24th, the legendary Alabama. Alabama's 40-year career has produced 43 number one singles, including 21 number one hits in a row. Alabama's music continues to reach country fans of all generations.
Song,
tickets range from $40 to $75 plus fees. Get your tickets now at etix.com. That's ETIX.com. Alabama, Friday, July 24th at the Buffalo County Fair.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number. We're Custom Pack.
This week at Custom Pack of Hastings, get lean center cut pork chops, only $1.98 a pound. A 5-pound bag of 90% lean ground beef, only $3.89 a pound. And fresh oven-ready ham loaf mix, only $2.97 a pound. It's all at Custom Pack, 601 West J.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete & Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Show. Randy Gregory. What do you think? I had Okie from Muskogee. I had Afro Man. Had all kinds of music we could have played just for that, but what's the point?
Let's be honest.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. apparently we do in the Gregory household.
Well, what I thought about, the first thing that got it was a selfish thought because I'm a Nebraska football fan. And I thought, you know, well, he didn't want to play in the bowl game because, you know, he wasn't 100%. You know, he didn't want to play in the bowl game because he wasn't 100%. Now, if he'd have played and he got hurt, I'd have felt really bad because we're endangering his career and the amount of money that he might make. All right, so let's say that let's go. Hey, that's fine. I'll buy that. And then you smoke marijuana. Then you know the date of the combine. I mean, do you realize, Doug, that the difference between being a fifth round selection in the NFL and a 15th round? $10 million.
You mean the number 5 pick and the number 15?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. $10 million. That's a $10 million. Now, yeah, he got him.
That'll get you a lot of the good stuff.
$10 million. Okay, so now, you know, basically, so what I'm saying, I was kind of unselfish because Randy Gregory, he wouldn't play in that bowl game, you know, I mean, the loyalty, you know, to the team and whatever. So I'm kind of looking at a guy that right now I'm seeing as somebody that's a little selfish. But everybody I've talked to, though, says he's a great guy and Randy's good and he's a really good guy and a great guy to coach with and everybody loves him. So, yeah, just because you smoke some marijuana doesn't make you a bad guy. My problem is, this is not a good time to do it.
Wow.
I mean, you know, I mean, you got no self-discipline? I mean, that's my problem.
I'll tell you what.
What's your point? What's your take of it? Help me. Am I completely wrong?
No, I think the national perspective is interesting because I mean, Bomani Jones is one of them out there that I watched, and Cowher talked about it. As long as you can help their team win in the National Football League, they don't care. And like they said, as long as Randy Gregory isn't getting suspended, I mean, that's what they're worried about. Is this going to be a problem? Because I can't draft you, pay you, and then you keep getting suspended and end up in the drug policy. That's what they're worried about. And I find that an interesting take. With all the things that are wrong with sports and all the violence that we're talking about and all the illegal things that are going on, this seems to be something that's getting swept under the rug. Now, I'm not saying that there should be a national crisis awareness thing going on, but you know how it is. Whatever the topic of the moment is gets overblown. This one, I don't think is.
No. You know, here's what's going to happen, Doug, honestly. I mean, okay, let's say that we it was a big deal when I was in school. You couldn't have pop. You could not drink pop during the school day. That was a big deal. If you got caught with a pop, it was almost like death by hanging. You know what I mean? So you couldn't have pop during the thing. Well, I mean, I'm not so sure that in 2020, when they test for drugs, that marijuana will even be something they test for. Yeah. I'm going to guess it's not. Uh-huh. I'm going to try to look ahead. Hey, Doug, I told on this show, I said in the MIAA, when UNK joined the MIAA, I told you flat out what that means. We'll have a lot of new coaches.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that? Yeah. I mean, we can look that up. I said there'll be. So when I read into this, I'm not saying 2020, but since they're testing for it now, or whatever they're testing for, don't take that. They tell you what they're going to test for.
Yeah.
Let's
do Fanatics Friday fan quiz. My last couple of thoughts on the whole Randy Gregory thing is, A, he's got to hope that the Broncos draft him, and B, he was having, all we heard about is he's having trouble getting bigger to be in the NFL, getting bigger. I mean, when he got sick, he couldn't gain weight. He's smoking all this hooch and he's not eating? What? How did he not gain weight? There you go. Call now, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776, 888-455-3776. One winner per household every 3 months for our Fanatics Friday quiz. The winner's going to get a $25 gift card to go to Fanatics, watch all of your favorite sporting events, enjoy one of their custom handcrafted pizza with your choice of toppings. Try the Mizza. It's always so good. Cheeseburger, chicken bacon ranch is awesome. They've got some special concoctions over there as well. Sandwiches, burgers, kids menu, and folks, the bullpen, outdoor beer garden, as it's getting nice here, you're going to want to enjoy that as well at Fanatics. Let's go to the phone lines here. Who are we chatting with?
This is Mark. How's it going, fellas? Coach Jimmy, how you doing?
Hey, real good. What's up?
He wants to be a winner.
Hey, just makes me feel old, you know, all these coaches retiring that I used to, you know, look up to. You know, it doesn't seem that long ago we were sitting in the coaches' rooms in the summers, you know, laughing and, you know, just sitting around coaching at Hoosiers camps, but it's weird seeing all these people retire now.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. I thought about that the other day. The only thing I'm hanging on to, I'm still refereeing a little bit, and there's going to be a day when that ends, and then I'm going to go into some kind of a shock.
But you'll talk to us about it, right?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Well, Mark, let's give you a chance here to win $25 from Fanatics. I thought of this yesterday when we were talking to Augie Garrido. Who won the 2014 College World Series?
I was even there. Long Beach State.
No. Try back, man. Try back. 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. I knew that would be the first one that I threw out there today. Who won the College World Series? Who are we chatting with?
Steve,
I don't even think I can use that first question again. Here's one, though, for you, which you've got a chance at. I always love keeping Jimmy up to date. The Nebraska bowling team is the number one seed for the national championships that get underway in St. Louis on April the 9th. Since bowling became a sanctioned sport in 2004, how many national titles has Nebraska won?
Seven.
Not seven. Try back. 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Mike.
Mike, how many national bowling championships has Nebraska won?
I believe four.
Ho! Hey! Ho! We got a winner! Jimmy didn't even know.
No.
You know about everything about bowling. You know, four. That's outstanding. Last one was in 2013. They won it in 4, 5, 9, and 13. Hey, hang on the line. Brent will get you hooked up here with our $25 gift card to Fanatics. Enjoy.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
Hang on the line. And Vanderbilt was your national champion at the College World Series. It just, from time to time, when we're overblowing stuff, and as these coaches say, almost every one of them, when they're retiring or moving on, you're not going to, well, nobody remembers who got second. You hardly ever remember who got first. It's the Augie Garridos, the Tom Crops, the Paul Baronics, the Kathy Mettenbrinks, the on and on and on that have done so well, done so many good things. And whether they retire, whether they move on, like Coach Steinbrück at Kearney High, whatever the case, whoever you are, that's what you remember. And all those people we just talked about, great human beings. Great human beings.
Yeah, so, like you said, that's what it's about. And it's the relationships you have. That's right. It really is. It's about relationships that you have with players. Well said. I cannot believe, you know, that Vanderbilt and Virginia played the best two out of three, didn't they, last year? I think it went three games, right? Yep.
Yeah, it went all the way to the wire. It was some exciting baseball last year. There was actually some runs scored from time to time, and then 3-2, and Texas lost in extra innings to Vanderbilt in the second game because Texas had lost the opening day. That was a good time at a College World Series. By the way, Jimmy, because I know you want to know who Nebraska will be competing against while they're in St. Louis, Farley Dickinson, of course, Arkansas State, Vanderbilt, Central Missouri, out of the MIAA, Sam Houston State, Stephen F. Austin, they've got a good basketball team, and Wisconsin Whitewater. Mr. Plinski, let's get UNK a bowling team. They could go travel with Whitewater to these national championships. And can you tell me who the defending national champion is?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know that right off the top of my head. I'm going to say Farley Dickinson, I think.
No, it was Sam Houston State. They beat Nebraska last year in the finals.
So. Sam Houston State. Yeah, of course, that's right. I'm probably off a couple years.
I'm just telling you, when the Huskers won it in 2013, and it was, I think, on the night after one of the national champ, it was like over the Final Four weekend or something, whatever it was. Something was going on, maybe Nebraska baseball, we watched that at night, whatever it was. And the sports bar was full of people doing whatever they're doing.
but the bowling was on, and you don't think it just proved to me that it doesn't matter what the sport is. If it says Nebraska across the chest, they're rooting for it.
Some little girl goes up there and misses a spare, and everybody's just repping her. Oh, my God!
Yeah, it was just
Susie!
Yeah, you know, you got to, you know, somebody'd yell, put away the Marlboro Reds and get the greens, you know, exactly. Filter not, you know, it's just crazy. Have we got through all that we needed to get through today? I think so. Are we good? Let's wrap the show up. I mean, folks, we had so many great guests on the show this week. If you missed any of them, you can check out our podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. It started talking about the Sweet 16 in the first weekend of basketball on Monday, and it talked about Nebraska baseball, 11-game winning streak. We talked with the coaches and Paul Baronic and Kathy Mettenbrink and Kevin Lofton, Josh Lamberson, as they get ready for spring football next week. It's another week away, the 7th, for Hastings College to get into football. We talked with Patty Sartorius, the new interim athletic director over at Hastings College, as they continue to make changes over there. We were at Bandits yesterday, had a good time talking a little horse racing. Chuck Turco among our guests, Nebraska Danger football, of course, Augie Garrido, and then today, Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal, talk a little Michigan State Big Ten basketball, and Sean Alexander, NFL most valuable player, multiple-time All-Pro, will be in Kearney Sunday for the FCA Legacy Banquet. Coming up on Monday, we'll be down to the Final Four, so we hope you can join us then, and Jimmy, we'll see your smiling face there.
You will, as long as tonight the Danger runs a lot of plays north.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Remember, say some nice things to Jimmy if you're at the Danger game tonight. We'll see you Monday on the Doug and Daddy Show.